ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is Tuesday, October 12th, and welcome to the Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill with you, buddy, back over in the LaRose studios. We'll hear at some point today from the intern. See how that walking class is doing. Buddy, maybe we can ask him a French phrase or two since he's pretty much almost what I passed the halfway point of this semester, huh? She got like November and a week or so of December. We'll ask him a French question and quiz him or not. The New Orleans Saints in a bye week. Sean Payton spoke yesterday for 20-plus minutes after watching the tape. State of his team, third down philosophy, some really good stuff as well. And just, again, one of those things where I said this at the beginning of the year. I thought you were going to see example upon example upon example of Sean Payton being locked in. And you've heard a lot of people that cover the team or whatever say, look, he is a good coach. Drew Brees says he's an offensive, you know, mind and things of that nature. And one of the reasons he's been successful as a Saints head coach is because of the preparation and understanding that. And really, it's been fun to sort of see the last couple of weeks, just instances of him talking about how you got to be ready from the Hail Mary, things of that nature. But really, yesterday, again, he just gave an example or two on third down, how you're thinking about it, what you're doing this week or game week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, makes you ready for Sunday. And I know that sounds simple, and I know maybe sometimes we don't think about it, but you'll hear the example. He absolutely is ready for third and name it. And things such as, okay, we're going to do this on third down like a pitcher in baseball, so we're going to try this on second to set it up for third. Just some incredible, really cool stuff that I think fans will get a better understanding as to why that's successful. And it's crazy because I'm cutting that and I'm listening to this. I can have that for y'all. And again, it just kind of reiterates what Matt's been saying the last 2 days and yesterday. And what I've been saying about the LSU situation, we're going to hear from Eric Alexander coming up at 2:15, get his take on it as well. With LSU, and I know it's a transition to it, but what I'm cutting this and I'm listening to him, I'm thinking of the reports or the reasoning behind getting this offensive coordinator or that guy trying to be Joe Brady, and why I just kind of, and it's not a disrespectful thing, and it may happen, but I'm like, let's calm down on the Joe Brady situation here. He has Sean's playbook, thinking like a Sean, thinking like an offensive mind. Show me some things. Show me some things first. Plus, you also have to have that kind of guy as well, drawing X's and O's and little squiggly lines to go that way and have philosophies is one thing. Understanding how to coach it, preparing for it, and being ready for it is completely different than just, hey, this is great, let's throw five. You got to understand why. You have to understand offense. And I'm just listening to Sean Payton talk, and I'm like, yeah, you can see why you're having trouble scoring at LSU. It was just, let's bring back that style. This guy here, that guy, well, what's the reasoning behind it? There's reasons why you move people in motion. There's reasons why you set up a receiver here. The importance of landmarks. The importance, as you heard in the Hail Mary, the sidewalk. I cut that. Sean Payton explained what exactly is the sidewalk in the Hail Mary. Every little detail to a single play has a detail to it. There's a reasoning to it. And in that play, Sean's expressed to the receiver's coach, this is what I need the receiver to do for that. The offensive line coach, each of your five positions need to do this. The running back, this running, for that play to work and that play to be successful. That's why he has success, and that's why you're seeing that. And again, It's one of the things we're going to discuss and delve into this week. 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions for Jameis Winston, the amount of people that this team is missing, and the fact that, I quite honestly, who's with me? They should be 4-1. They should be. Should be 4-1. At 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, going to kick their tails out of that. I mean, I'm absolutely certain they're going to be upset come later in the year because that's a game they should have won. But that's remarkable when you think of all that. Plus, he spoke yesterday about that whole sense and feeling too, though, about, I don't like, this is him saying, you know, paraphrasing. He's like, I don't like thinking that way. We do. Fans are like, because it's the truth, but I get what he's saying. In that environment, in that locker room, at that facility, you can't be like, man, I wish we had this guy here. It doesn't work that way. And again, that's why, and I don't think they are one in the same, or they even correlate, but maybe it's just because we're covering it the same time. But man, it just really goes to show you why one place works and 75 miles north, it's not. There's just so much more to being a head coach, being a manager, being a people person, being someone that understands the game and concepts and things that to just phrases and attitude and bravado. It's crazy when you think about it that way. And then you coincide both of those situations, which are so contrasting right now, with what happened last night. John Gruden resigning as head coach of the Oakland Raiders, New York Times releasing a story of what essentially boiled down to 7 years of emails that included a gambit of things that absolutely were offensive to, you name it, name a group, the commish, which Saints fans may not be upset about from that aspect of it. But again, one of the main absolute reason why there was pressure for him to either be fired or how everyone's come out today against it. That position, and this is how it's been spoken about. That position is a CEO, face of the organization, represents you, represents the ownership, represents the fan. There's so much to that. And again, it just, the evening and just all these stories, they're different, but there's commonalities into it all. And I'm talking about the LSU situation. I'm talking about what's going on here in New Orleans, how Sean Payton's been able to, almost 20 years, run a successful organization, but there's reasons why, there's principles why, and why one coach he'll never be involved in football again that I can think of. There's a network's going to touch John Gruden. There's an organization there is, even though LSU fan, Tiger message boards are going bananas. Hire John Gruden. There's a reason he's not the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, though. You may want to kind of come to an understanding as to why that's not the case first before you think he's a perfect fit for Baton Rouge. A university that's already embroiled in situation and issues, which is why, again, what's going on up there with the whole Coach O thing just makes you absolutely be baffled that it continues. It's understanding situations and things. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting, thinking of all these different aspects of it, on how there's a bunch of different stories, yet you can make links to a lot of different things. I promise I did find one. Took a bit. Had to look for a little bit. But not many. But there was a highlight or two in Utah last night.
Hernan Gomez in, Valanciunas out for the Pels. 8 on the shot clock. Graham pulls up, deep left wing three. Get in there, Devontae Graham. Nothing but net from the Wasatch.
On trade tonight.
Oh, I see what Daniel said there, huh? Devon worked all season on that. Look, 27-96, the final. It was a beating. Andrew Lopez at the bottom of the hour will help us understand how much should we take out of that. It's the fourth game, though, in the preseason. They went 1-3. Where they started off slow offensively, never being Lopez a when you already being referred to as, you better not be this year's Eric Bledsoe. Garrett Temple, LSU Tiger, seems to be Pelicans Twitter's Eric Bledsoe right now. So I'll ask Andrew, what's that? Plus, spoke with head coach Willie Green yesterday, and Andrew was told the latest on Zion, who's not running, and they won't make an evaluation determination run until he gets more scans on his foot. And that will be over the next day or two, per head coach Willie. Like I said yesterday, I would be shocked if he's ready next Wednesday. And if he is, I guarantee you there will be a mention on there. It will be nice 1 year when we can open up a Pelican season where there isn't unhappiness, where there isn't injury concerns with the franchise player, and everybody is healthy and ready to go. I don't know if that will ever happen, but Jordan, the intern, as we bring you in, there is hope that that will happen at some point one day in time. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. I did have my walking class today. Earlier on the show, kind of mentioned that. So had a nice walk around, you know, the track.
You need to go walk to Strawberry Stadium because apparently head coach Frank Selfa, who will join us at 1:45, he's inviting everybody, Baton Rouge fans, Tulane fans, everybody, come up there and go watch a winning football team. He is absolutely lying it up on Twitter, buddy. Lying up.
I did see that. I'm proud of him kind of standing up against, you know, the bigger college names. He is getting hammered a little bit over on social media in the comments section. But, I mean, he's not wrong. I mean,
hey,
there, you know,
hey,
his program is winning.
Hey. Hey, your job as the head coach is to promote your organization, is to promote your thing. And guess what? You know why he's getting all pumped up and happy? Because, Jordan, I do believe this weekend, he's finally going to play a home game, like in Strawberry Stadium, like legitimately, finally, the first time this season, they're going to play a game in their own stadium. So, you know, yeah, let them be fun. Let them have a good time and get people out there, man. No doubt about it. So coming up on the show, we're going to have Amy Just next segment, Andrew Lopez, Chris Leno, color commentator for the Cajuns. Normally we have Billy Napier, but Jordan, he's got a game tonight against App State. It's the rivalry. Ready? So we'll chat with him. Tim Rebo, 1:15. We may get Willie Fritz. I just thought about on a bye week. So let's Selfo at 1:45 and Eric Alexander at 2:15. Got a couple of questions of the day though, Jordan. Give us some of those.
Yeah, talking about the New Orleans Pelicans, like you were saying, they lost to the Utah Jazz 127-96 last night. And there'll be a couple more days till the first regular season game. But how much stock did you Pelicans fans put into this preseason, and are you kind of concerned from what you saw during this preseason run from your New Orleans Pelicans, or is it really nothing to worry about? You can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003. And the other question of the day is, we're going into a bye week for your New Orleans Saints, and is the team where you thought they would be heading into the bye and then facing Seattle coming out of the bye? Give us your comments, give us any of your concerns, and we'll make sure to pass those along through the air. Again, you can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
All right, sir, you had them 11-6. 11-6 playoff bound. You were excited. You thought they were just going to be incredible. Here we are at the bye at 3-2. Are they where you thought the New Orleans Saints would be?
Obviously not, because if you look to your left in the studio, Gus, my sheet would say that they would head undefeated into the bye. Obviously, a pipe dream. But, I mean, I would have liked them being 4-1 heading into the bye, like you were kind of mentioning a few minutes ago. I think that will come back to bite them, you know, in the butt. But at the same time, you got to be happy. It could be the Kansas City Chiefs right now, where they're saying blow up the whole
world. Oh, you know what? That's unbelievable. You had to go. You had to go there, huh? That is an absolute cheap shot that you had to go. That this has nothing to do with the Chiefs. Nothing.
Patrick Mahomes is a bum, dude. You just got to accept it now.
You know what? That's it. That's it. Wow, looky there, 12:15, time for a break. Unfortunately, we're out of time for the intern. At some point today, we will join you probably in the 2 o'clock hour to go over some top stories and get some comments off of this since we are guest-laden in hours 1 and 2. So, Jordan, go take a nap, 2:05, give us a call back. Sound good?
Line up, baby, line up.
There it is. Light up. There it is. All right, quick break. When we come back, we will hear from Miss Amy Just. She covers the New Orleans Saints for the Picayune and the Advocate. We'll get her take on the Saints being 3-2 and where they go from here, especially with their kicker. That's right. Cody Parkey on IR. Can anyone kick? Buddy, do you have any elements? Can you kick? Can you kick a football? Head coach Sean Payton may need you. It's the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes and the North Shore wins. Vote yes and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. It is hour number one on Tuesdays at this time. We welcome in Miss Amy Just, covers your New Orleans Saints for the Picayune and the Advocate. Amy, good afternoon. How are you?
I am good. I'm better than the Saints kicking situation.
I was literally going to open up with, can you kick?
I can punt. I can't kick. And no, I'm not going to take Blake Gillikin's job. He was too perfect.
He was pretty good. He did get a game ball. We can chat about that here in a quick second. But, look, I guess it's a good thing that you have 2 weeks. I know Sean Payton yesterday afternoon, when he spoke with everybody, did kind of address that a little bit about the future, maybe, that Will Lutz can come back or not. Do you even know if he's – I mean, I saw a video that he posted a while back of him actually like swinging, as he would say, right, kicking the ball. He's got to be getting close, right?
He's close, but I don't think he's there yet. I think that if they had a game this week, he would not be kicking, and then next week for Monday, I think he's close, but I don't think he's quite there yet. My colleague Jeff Duncan reporting the same thing. There was optimism that they could get him back for Monday Night Football, and I don't think they've ruled it out yet, but I don't think he's there yet. We're still in that timetable, right? Core muscle surgeries, they can be pretty tricky for anybody, and then when you're a specialist, that sometimes adds a little bit longer recovery, and I think that's what we're seeing here. Though, if the Saints could have just, signed a kicker that remained healthy, or a kicker that could make kicks, or both, right? We wouldn't be in this situation. So it looks like the Saints will be trying to find kicker number 5-4 if you don't include Will.
That's unbelievable in and of itself. And Amy, if you paid attention to this weekend, which I'm sure you did, kicking, including last night, was, it's never a good thing when kicking is a storyline as to why teams won or lost in the last two days in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. That's never what you want to see, right? And it just, as a special teams nerd, it breaks my heart to see all of those missed kicks this past weekend. And you can go even further back with Aldrick Rosas missing 3 straight kicks, which is why he was let go. Though they did bring him in for a workout last week. So the Saints may be recycling. I don't know what the market looks like right now, the free agent market for kickers. I don't know who you get, though. That's the thing.
It's not funny. It really honestly is, as Sean Payton has said the last 2 weeks.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. And as he said in the last 2 weeks, I eventually got to get one through the uprights. That was Rosas. And then this past week, eventually got to kick an extra point. So, it's just got to be made.
It looked really bad in the moment. It's like, how? How can you miss 2 PATs?
Yeah.
Turns out he tweaked his groin in warm-ups and kicked through it and... Yeah. By the end of the game, all he was doing was kicking those extra points because Blake Gillikin took over on kickoff duties. So it must have been pretty bad. Not bad enough to, like, sideline him for the whole game, but glad they didn't have to try a field goal. I don't know if they would have.
Speaking with Amy Just, who covers the Saints, at Amy_Justice, the way to follow over on Twitter. You know, Gillikin's obviously one of the bright spots, right, of these first 5 games.
God.
This team goes in 3-2. It's incredible. Thomas Morstead, as a punter in the world of the NFL or just in football, you don't normally know kickers. Here, there's Harness.
Sorry, you broke up. I'm assuming you're talking about, like, how, like, the Saints just love their punters for some reason. That's going to continue. I mean, the NFL, like, main Twitter account tweeted out 2 of Blake Gillikin's puns on Sunday. 2! It's weird that they would even do 1 of them, let alone 2. So it just it just goes to show just how dominant Blake was on Sunday. He did something that no punter has done since ESPN started tracking the metric in 2000. He had 3 punts that went over 50 yards that landed inside the 5.
That's incredible.
No punter has done that 3 times in a single game since ESPN started recording that in 2000. Unbelievable.
So along those lines, because I think he's been a pleasant surprise, obviously, and I say surprise in just terms of we just don't know, right? He falls under the category of players. You don't know how they're going to be in those positions. Excuse me. We've talked about receiver, but what about quarterback, Amy? When you look at Jameis Winston, if I'd have told you 12 touchdowns to 3 interceptions going into the bye, you probably would be happy with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't think those are the metrics that are making people angry. I think the metrics that are making people angry is that they want to compare him to Drew, and you can't do that. Like, obviously, the 5 touchdowns from week 1 are going to skew things a little bit because those were all really short field situations. Again, you're going to take the touchdowns where you get them, right? But it just, he's not, you know, as efficient as Drew. He has too many incompletions. It's just like, can you just be happy? They're 3-2. They're 3-2. They lost 2 games that they shouldn't have lost.
Right.
But on paper, right, Carolina, I think, is better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, though they did lose this last weekend. Enjoy it. It could be so much worse. You could be a fan of the Raiders right now. You could be a fan of the Jaguars right now. Like, just enjoy the bye. Enjoy that the Saints are not, you know, the topic of the NFL for a very, 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 very horrific reason today. So that's, I'm going to step off my soapbox now.
No, I'm with you because, quite honestly, it is pretty remarkable. You had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and that should have been a victory, right? I mean, when you lead with 8 minutes or so in the fourth, that normally is a game that you should win, and I think everyone feels that. So you technically could be 4-1, and you could look at it either way. Or I know Sean Payton yesterday spoke about not thinking of, hey, imagine if we had all of our players back. But Amy, you can do it. Imagine what this team may be when they actually do get all these players back.
It's always a big if, right? If you go back, I think that if the Saints have C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Marshawn Lattimore for Carolina, I think that's a close game. I think that's a winnable game. So, obviously, last week against the Giants, not great. But they learned from it. That's what Sean wanted. Sean wanted them to learn from it. And Marshawn Lattimore said it. He's like, we weren't going to let that happen again. And right. It felt very similar, right? When Washington went for that 2-point conversion and then didn't get it, complete opposite of what happened 2 weeks ago. So you got to learn from your mistakes. And I think that the bye comes at a good time for the Saints as far as injuries go, for the right now, right? But this is it. You don't got another one. It's week 6. And there are 18 weeks. So you just hope that this is the end of it for most of your big injuries and hope that, you know, this is it. But, I hate early bye weeks, especially now that we have an extra game.
Right.
So much for player safety. But that's another soapbox that I will not get on today.
Amy Just at Amy_Just is the way to follow her over on Twitter. Amy, when you think of these names, Michael Thomas, Armstead, Onyemata, Davenport, McCoy, Traquan, Lutz, Kwan, Nick Vinette, Tony Jones Jr., of all of those, what name you think will be the most impactful to come in? Is it Michael Thomas? Is it Will Lutz since he doesn't have a kicker? It's Will,
it's
huh?
Will.
Is that what you're going with?
It's Will. Yes, it's Will. We did a roundtable at NOLA.com last week, since it's like kind of a quarter of the way through the season. So now that there's a 17th game, you can't really do that anymore. I said Will. I think that his importance has been understated since he got here, and now his absence is so missed. It's so glaring. The game plan changes when you have him. Like, he's just so reliable when he's healthy. Though the thing that worries me, though, is that he comes back and he's not quite who he was before.
Right.
You got to work out the kinks, got to work out the rust. That worries me about Michael Thomas, though, too, to be honest.
I'm with you, and that's what I was going to go with next. You know, it's incredible. You lose Hill and Harris in the game. And that essentially just takes, I mean, how much offense do you even remotely have left? It really honestly is remarkable they won that game when you think about it from that perspective on how important they are. Harris doesn't have the volume, and I know Sean was asked this yesterday about Callaway's volume as well, but when they make plays and it's a catch, Amy's either been a touchdown or a big play. With Harris, they've been touchdown catches, and with Callaway, you're seeing what can happen there. That's why the addition of a Traquan or even Michael Thomas should help those guys get more volume, right? Because you're not going to be covered nearly as bad.
Yeah, so that's what I was telling some guys at the airport yesterday. When you get everybody back, whether that's Michael Thomas, Traquan Smith, Nick Vinette even, right? Any one of those guys on offense, you know, who knows how long Taysom's going to be out? Who knows how long Deontay Harris is going to be out? When you have that full strength on offense, you cannot double-team everyone. Someone's going to be left open. That's just the way that it works. You can look back at the night game at Tampa last year. Everybody was pretty healthy, right? You know, and everybody was involved. Everybody was making big plays. Because you cannot double-team everyone. If you double-team somebody, there's going to be somebody left open, and that's why the Saints were so effective in that game for a number of reasons, right? So once you get everyone back, it's just going to help. It's going to help everyone get a little bit more involved because it's hard to game plan for all of the weapons that the Saints have when they're healthy.
Andy, go enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy a little time off, because when you get back, it'll be interesting, right? Monday night, Seattle, Tampa, or Champa Bay, as they like to call themselves over there, the Falcons, okay. And then everything gets going. So if you're a Saints fan, you're
all right, see you next week.
All right, take care. Amy Just at Amy underscore Justice, the way to give her a follow over on Twitter. Quick break. We come back. Let's see if Andrew Lopez can find something positive out of last night. I don't know. It's preseason, right? How much stock do you put into the Pels loss last night? 127-96 to Utah. Back-to-back kind of not-so-good-looking games. I don't know. We'll talk to Andrew when we get back. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Check out Mr. Businessman on Oppo.
Man, how can you afford gas for that big SUV?
I pay less for gas than everyone else. I got the free GetUpside Gas app and get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time I buy gas.
Hold on. You're getting up to 25 cents off a gallon with the free GetUpside Gas app while I'm paying full price?
You know it. People earned over $1 million last year. You just got to take a picture of your gas receipt and bam, up to 25 cents a gallon cash back.
You don't have to tell me twice. I'm downloading the free GetUpside Gas app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code UP for a 25 cent a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next tank. Just download the free GetUpside app at the App Store or Google Play and use promo code UP. Save money on gas on every fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code UP. That's UP. Visit GetUpside.com for terms.
Exam 4 needs to be sanitized. Mersana's MRI clinic isn't operating at max efficiency. She needs a new certified tech certifiably now.
Someone's waiting in room 2 for an ACL scan. Can you handle that?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz.
He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Yeah, it's really good for us. This is a good evaluation period just to see where we are. We got a lot of young guys. Things really simple right now for them. But the biggest thing is to play with force, to play with toughness, to play with pace, and to play together. Like I said, the score doesn't look like it, but tonight was a step in the right direction.
Andrew Lopez, underscore Andrew, underscore Lopez, covers the New Orleans Pelicans for ESPN. Good afternoon, sir. Is Willie Green right, or should I be in panic mode after preseason?
If he says that it's a step in the right direction for them and what they want to do, okay. here's the thing. I really think it was just a tough overall evaluation period for the Pels. You obviously didn't have Zion Williamson for any of the preseason games. You didn't have Brandon Ingram for three of the preseason games. You didn't have Jackson Hayes for a good chunk of the preseason. When three of your top rotation guys are missing, it is hard when you are ultimately moving around pieces and trying to figure things out. So if they feel like they got something that maybe we didn't see out of that, okay. That's more of a coaching thing of what they saw in, you know, hey, I like this rotation. Hey, I like this effort. Hey, I like this. But for me, it was hard to really gather too much from preseason because there was just so many moving pieces, and I didn't see a lot other than Trey Murphy can shoot the ball and Herb Jones can defend. Mm-hmm. I think those were my two biggest takeaways.
All right, you mentioned a couple names I want to delve into here, but I guess we'll just stick with, the fun part of Twitter during these games. Never good when a player is referred to as, this person better not be this year's Eric Bledsoe. You know who I'm referring to, right? The LSU Tiger, Mr. Garrett Temple. Why are people already calling him the Eric Bledsoe for this season?
I think because they're just equating veteran getting minutes over what they assume should be somebody like Nikhil or Trey or anything like that, blocking the path, if you will, of all these other guys. And I don't think it's like that at all. I think in talking to a lot of people around the organization, I said this, that the second the trade was announced, back on, whatever day free agency opened, they have their leader. This is the guy they want. This is the guy who's going to be able to get in there and help, these young guys advance. We've already seen we've heard about the team dinners in Nashville and then Nikhil going, oh, like that sounds like a good idea. I should do that. So we've already seen it pay off in that aspect. His leadership is there. His they're leaning on his smarts. I still don't know if he's really going to be part of that, early rotation, even when you look right at how things are breaking down early on. I still think that maybe he is kind of a, I don't want to say a placeholder, but I think they were more about looking at other lineups and making sure everything was around rather than just, oh, Garrett Temple is going to be our starter. So mm-hmm. Once the regular season gets here, I think we'll see how exactly that's going to look. But I don't think it's a sense of that. But I could tell why people are doing it. It's because here's a veteran getting that they think somebody else should get.
Are we getting the right kind of attitude? And I mean this. I like this. Josh Hart tossed last night. Valanciunas, the only home game here that we saw in preseason. I like this. I don't mind players getting tossed to an extent. That means we're not going to take it, Andrew. Should I be happy with that or not happy? Players are getting tossed.
The JV one, I think, was just kind of funny because it was just the flick of the wrist, like, oh, whatever.
Right.
And he did it twice. Maybe he said a magic word to get the second one. That, okay, you do want to draw a line where you don't want to just completely start arguing with refs, right? You don't want to just, be a team that is known for that. Because then, if you become a team who is just going to argue with refs and get texts all the time, the other issues start occurring. You start not getting calls. Maybe things don't go your way on an out-of-bounds play, things like that. So I think you do have to kind of be a little bit careful with that. But it is nice that to see some guys early on showing that sort of passion that, hey, we're ready. We want to be here. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I waited, but I have to since you tweeted it and everybody went into it. All right. You asked Coach Willie Green about, who? Zion. I'm sitting here going, if I haven't seen him run – I mean, this was yesterday. I was talking to Graf in the preview. I'm like, is he running yet? He's like, no, I haven't seen him practice. I'm like, well, then I don't know if he's going to be ready in 10 days. Like, I'm thinking conditioning-wise. So before I saw you tweet yesterday, I'm thinking if he plays next Wednesday in the season opener, the dreaded phrase minute restrictions will be attached to it. At this point, I just don't see either or happening. I don't know. Tell everybody what you know and what to expect next Wednesday.
So here we go. As of right now, we have not seen, we really haven't seen Zion, for the media portion of where we're open to practice, in a week or so. Not that that means he hasn't been there. We just haven't seen him and maybe he's doing some things, not around us, which is fine. He's mm-hmm. doing his rehab. We've seen him sometimes off to the side doing rehab stuff, but, as Willie Green yesterday, he said he is not running. They are looking at getting some scans, either today or tomorrow. Those scans will determine more of his timeline. The original timeline, again, remember, was we are hopeful to have him back for the start of the regular season. When I asked Zion, hey, when are you going to, do you think you're going to be ready? He says he'll be ready for the first game no matter what. Now, that was at Media Day, that was now 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. The biggest thing I think here is he hasn't started running yet. Now, they said he's done his cardio, but how much can you really do? How much can you really ramp up in 8 days, 9 days, when you haven't really started running? And let's say it's okay. Let's say it's this morning, all right? Let's say it's this morning, and they told them, hey, you're going to start running today. All right, that's still 9 days before things are ready to go. And I think that is a shorter warm-up period than I think a lot of people maybe expect. and I do think – I don't think you're going to see him go 38 minutes a night off top. I don't think you're going to see him just start, you know, coming out. I don't know if we're going to go burst again, because I think he made it very clear how much he hated those originally. So I think they'll probably work on that. You got to remember when they also going back to Willie, I mean, to David's comment the very first time, it wasn't just, it was, we met with the training staff, Zion, his parents, to develop a return to play timeline. So I think everybody's going to be in on this time. Whether it's the first game, we'll see. Obviously, they had already ruled out all these preseason games, so it's not a surprise to not see him in any of these. But now, you know, Pelicans are off today. We will get that update now tomorrow from Willie Green on what's next and what happened.
All right, Andrew, two other big stories in the world of the NBA as well, though, that do, I guess, affect some of the things that the Pels will eventually see immediately in the season opener next week, is against the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I've been like, you're never going to see Ben Simmons. He's never going to go. Amazing what happens when you find out you're actually not going to get paid and they're not caving in. He showed up. He took a COVID test today. He's there. He reported. So Ben Simmons likely will play in the season opener. Touch on that, and then, wow, the Nets flat out told Kyrie Irving, you don't get vaccinated, you're not practicing or playing with us.
So, okay, here's about this. I still don't think you'll see Ben Simmons play a game. I think he is reporting to minimize some of those practice fines. The belief from, at least with what I think our Tim Bontemps was told, and maybe I forgot who it was, Tim or Woj, I don't think the expectation is that he will play necessarily. And if he does, maybe it won't be early on in those Pels games because they'll still be conditioning and la, 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 la. So what you see could just be Ben Simmons on the bench or with – I still think that part is murky. But like you said, you know, when you say I'm okay losing $33 million and then start losing part of $33 million, I guess things change just a little bit. Now for the Kyrie thing is also very fascinating to me because he's in a position where he could lose half of his money and not the other half. And I think by the Nets are kind of playing it safe a little bit by not fining him or not fine. The NBA has made a regulation of like, hey, you can't do. You're going to miss these if you miss your home games because of this issue. By still paying him for the road games, they're like, okay, he can't then try to recoup all of his money. So they're basically just saying, look, the ball is in your court now. We've tried to work with you. Here's what we're doing. It's on you. We can't have anybody who's only going to be here for some practice. Now that he could be there for practices, but he can't be there for 41 games. He could play this three-game stretch, but can't play that four-game road trip. It was a lot, and I think, you know, for them, they got together. And I know Sean Marks, their GM, said it was, you know, him and the ownership who got together and made those decisions. But I would be hard-pressed to believe that, you know, KD and James Harden didn't have a little bit of a say in how this was going to shake out.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how that would sort of be. And I guess, Andrew, you're kind of used to this. Injuries, you know, minute restrictions. I'd much rather probably be talking to you about that than are we ever going to see him because they won't get vaccinated or they won't be allowed to play. That's a huge thing to not have somebody of that caliber not be on your team for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a – I saw somebody mention it yesterday. Could you imagine if Kobe or MJ had a teammate that wouldn't get vaccinated and they were going to lose out on, you know, a possible championship run because somebody wouldn't get a shot? Like, it is just kind of put that in perspective. But if a person's willing to give up that much money, okay, but the teams are definitely putting their foot down because they are not in the business of losing any more money than they've lost in the last couple of years.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Andrew, as always, man. Appreciate the time, sir, and we will talk soon.
No problem.
There he is, Andrew Lopez, _Andrew_Lopez. Covers your New Orleans Pelicans next Wednesday, season opener. When we get back, there is a football game tonight in the world of college football. That is UL, the Raging Cajuns. Color analyst Chris Leno is going to join us. He will talk to us about that next on ESPN New Orleans. She gave me a hand, but I ignored her. Oh, Dr. John.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodaux Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury? Or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodaux Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today, 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodaux Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Call analyst Chris Leneau joins us to talk a little Raging Cajun football. Normally on Tuesdays, we speak with head coach Billy Napier, but Chris, he might be a little busy tonight. Got a football game coming up later this evening over in Acadiana. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
Gus, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
I'm doing fantastic. I know you are as well from this aspect of it. This is what it's all about, right? 4-1 versus 4-1, the history between these two teams. But let's kind of start back with where they are to this point. A couple of close games this year, and I guess trying to find ways to win. Last time they were on the football field, 20-18 at South Alabama to give them their fourth win of the season. What's been your take on the Cajuns this season?
Well, you open up against University of Texas in Austin, and the expectations coming into this year were Sun Belt championship or failure. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, what Billy Napier has done with this program the last couple of years, I think a lot of fans, the majority, would expect nothing less. So opening up against Texas, I think for a lot of fans, they were just hoping, is this a program that's just ready to hang with the big boys? And you saw it early on at halftime that, okay, well, this Louisiana football team matches up pretty well with the physicality of a Power 5 program such as the Longhorns. So that was very promising to see. Now, although Texas was able to run away with it in the second half, I think the future still looked pretty bright for this Cajun football team as they were going to enter into Sun Belt Conference play. And you know, weeks later, I think, you know, you look back at it, this team has been able to squeak out some wins that have been, I mean, I guess you look at the record, a lot of that is smoke and mirrors. You know, it's been a very quiet 4-1 season for Billy Napier and company. I think these fans, they're smart enough to know that if they eventually want to get to where this team wants to be or just, you know, is thriving to be at by the end of the year, you got to play much better. You got to play much better, and it has to start tonight against Appalachian State, or, you know, you're going to be facing against a Mountaineer team that has been in these situations for years and have really come out on top. This is the sixth meeting between both of these programs as Billy Napier has taken over, and you're looking at a 1-4 record that Billy holds over the Mountaineers. So it hasn't really been all rainbows and sunshine for Napier and company, but the very last game last year in which they met up, the Cajuns were finally able to get the monkey off their back.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully coming home on a Tuesday night with the expectations of a pretty raucous crowd, especially from the student section. From what I heard, there's going to be a lot of buzz. There was a lot of buzz late last week and early this week, yesterday, Monday, and earlier today on campus, and that's what you need. And it's going to take a valiant effort, I think, for the Cajuns to pull away with the victory.
How important is this season in terms of this, and I mean it like this, I don't mean it in a bad way, but don't tell him, but I've said Billy Napier would be a great hire in a lot of different places. I'm not trying to pull him away from you guys, but what he's been able to do that and build a culture. Look, there's a reason South Carolina, Auburn, and other schools have been interested in him, right? How important is this season for UL and really for him, you think?
Well, it's been what he has done has been nothing short of spectacular. And what I'll say is the fans that used to say before the year, man, if we could just go 7-5 or 8-4 or maybe, you know, if we have to grind out a 6-6 season and just make a bowl game, you know, that's a success. And what Billy has done, he has turned those fans into the spoiled little ones where, man, if we don't go 9-3 or go 10-2, it's going to be a disappointment. And I think that's what you want to do, though. That's been the goal all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it a step further, Gus. And I haven't really heard too many people mention this on the airways in Lafayette this morning and yesterday as well. But I look at this as another big opportunity for this program in the southern state of Louisiana. That is, you look at what's going on out east. Off of I-10 in Baton Rouge, yeah. And there's a program out there that's befuddled and just in a dire situation. So, I mean, if the Cajuns can squeak out a victory today, understanding what's at stake against a very formidable foe in Appalachian State, and I think both programs are coming in as nationally recognized programs. For what Louisiana was able to do last year on the stage in Ames, Iowa, against Iowa State, getting a top 25 win and finishing off the year 10-1 that was. But you're looking at an opportunity, I think, to really grab the bull by the horns and possibly just claim the state of Louisiana and just take it over, even if it's just for a split second or just for the remainder of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can persuade those fans who were those casual LSU fans, well, you know what, I just have roots in Lafayette, per se, that, you know, I like what's going on in Lafayette. I like what's going on over in Acadiana, and they got something to play for the remainder of this year. I'm going to follow them for the remainder of 2021. And I think that of itself is an opportunity. You need to take advantage of that. And it's the best way to get your program to grow and just to really grab onto those fans that really haven't been at your side for the past several years, that really haven't understood the success that this program has had. So I look at it from that sense, from a different angle as well, that, you know, there is a really big opportunity for Louisiana to just
really take hold of the state of Louisiana.
Chris Leneau covers the Cajuns, does color on their broadcast over at ESPN 1420. We'll hear from Scott on Wednesdays here in the show. Chris, two final things before you got 3.5 minutes here, but to your lines, it seems like every week there's this conference, that conference, you know, with schools going this way and all this different stuff that's happening. The Sun Belt's involved in a lot of it, whether it's App State going to another conference, all these things. That's why this matchup here in particular, it matters, right? If the Sun Belt maybe can add schools and make itself stronger if it has a couple of teams that are towards the top, or if you're the top teams in the conference, maybe other conference may come a calling. That's why a game like tonight matters.
It does, and you look back, let's say, 5 years ago, and really it was the Sun Belt who were almost like the bottom feeders, where there were schools that were at the top, they were looking elsewhere to possibly get out.
Right.
Now I look at the Sun Belt as one of these top-tier conferences, where you see a lot of these other schools and other conferences in the G5 leagues that are looking to maybe segue into this league. And really, geographically, it makes a whole lot of sense. And I think an acquisition like a Southern Miss potentially makes a whole lot of sense geographically. I think that would be a great acquisition to the league. And, you know, if Louisiana and Appalachian State, as well as Coastal Carolina, you know, you just kind of work your way east, if they can continue to grow and continue to have their program tick upwards in that sense, you know, I think the future is very promising for the Sun Belt. And a game like tonight on national TV, I mean, there's a reason why ESPN, the mothership, really wanted this game on their network, you know, because they understand what's at stake. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to leave here pretty soon from the New Orleans area and head that way, and I hope a lot of fans do join me just around the area.
Mm-hmm. That game, 6:30 tonight over on ESPN2. Let's wrap up with this, Chris, very simply. What is the key of keys? What does Coach Napier's team have to do tonight to get a win at home?
Well, I hear people say you have to win the turnover battle. I will disagree in the sense that I don't think you have to win the turnover battle. You just can't lose it. You can come away even.
Gotcha.
As long as you're unscathed in the turnover ratio and still come out with a victory. I believe Levi Lewis is going to have his best game of the year. He's been a little off and on, too many offs than ons, I would say, through 5 games. And one thing I will say, and I'll be a little bit more specific about this, this team coming in, I think Tim Lazy, the wide receiver coach, and others, they bragged about the overall depth from the wide receiver core. And don't get me wrong, it's very good from top to bottom. There's a lot of kids that can make a catch for you in critical times. But I think in a game like tonight, you're going to need your thoroughbreds. You're going to need your alpha males, your top four guys to play throughout the entirety of this game if you really want to come out victorious. And that's just something I want to see. I want to be able to just have a tap-out mentality. You know, you're only going to come out if you're going to tap your helmet a couple times, and we'll take you out, we'll put somebody else in. You're going to need your best players for 4 quarters. And defensively, if this front seven can just continue to do what they have been doing all year, they have been very stout at the line of scrimmage, then I think, you know, just – Louisiana can definitely make it a game for 4 quarters and possibly pull out victorious.
Chris Leneau, thank you for joining us today, sir, and previewing a little bit and talking a little Cajun football. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game and good luck.
Anytime, Gus. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Safe travels back over to Lafayette. That will put a wrap on hour number one here of the Sports Hangover. Don't forget,